is the detail in which John wrote. He mentioned the 24 elders. Let's go ahead and begin there. What were the 24 elders doing? Do you remember? What were they doing? Well, let me read it. And the 24 elders fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, "We give you thanks." They were worshiping God and giving him thanks. Now, what were they thinking, thanking him for specifically? For the lamb that was slain. Jesus Christ, who will someday judge the world in righteousness. Jesus Christ, who will someday reward the faithful with eternity. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who fulfilled the plan of God that was given all the way back to the beginning of time. And we're thankful for that as well. For had Jesus not come, as the Bible says, had he not lived and died, as the Bible says, had he not been murdered, buried, and rose again, as the Bible says, you and I would still be lost in our sins. So just like those 24 elders around the throne of God, we need to acknowledge the glory of God and thank him for his son. Now this morning, what I would like to do is I'd like to give a Thanksgiving sermon. I guess I have probably given 40 plus Thanksgiving sermons on the Sunday before Thanksgiving. Why stop now? I would imagine a lot of us, when we think of the holiday Thanksgiving, we think of turkey and dressing. And I could go on and on, but my mouth is already starting to salivate. We think about that wonderful feast that we share with family and friends. But we might even go back to 1863 when Abraham Lincoln declared the fourth Thursday in November as a special day to give thanks to God. And when was the last time you heard a president say or imply what Lincoln said when he inaugurated or when he established Thanksgiving? He said, "Thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in heaven." I just can't imagine the last many presidents saying something like that. But we can go back further than that. We can go back to the 1600s when the pilgrims and the Native Americans celebrated that harvest together. We can go back there. But brethren, as Christians, as children of God, we need to go back much, much further than that. We need to go all the way back to the book of Leviticus. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. That is way, way back. The book of Leviticus, you'll remember, God is giving various and sundry laws for the Levites and also for the people. It is called the Levitical law. It is God's law for the people. And in this book, he talks about making special offerings to him. For instance, in Leviticus chapter 1, he talks about burnt offerings. In chapter 2, grain offerings. In chapter 3, peace offerings. In chapter 4, sin offerings. In chapter 5, trespass offerings. And then as we get into chapter 6 and about halfway through chapter 7, he's giving us more details about those various offerings. So in chapter 6 and chapter 7, he's given us details. When we get down to Leviticus chapter 7, verse 11, he's talking here about the peace offerings that he had mentioned there in chapter 3. The Bible says, "This is the law of sacrifice of peace offerings, which you shall offer to the Lord. If you offer it for a thanksgiving, then offer it." And I suppose if you're not offering it as a thanksgiving, don't offer it. "With the sacrifice of thanksgiving." Now, brethren, we're talking about peace offering. But the more we look at the peace offering, and here God is calling it a thanksgiving offering, we soon realize they're one and the same. In fact, all of those offerings were to be given with thanksgiving in their heart. Because when we draw near the end of the book of Leviticus, chapter 22, verse 29, we read, "And when you offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Lord, offer it of your own free will." Voicing our gratitude, voicing our appreciation should be of our own free will. And that understanding went through the judges, it went through the prophets, it went through the early kings. In fact, all of the kings should have been bound by that. David, the psalmist, wrote 13 psalms talking specifically about giving thanks to God. In 1 Chronicles, we see that some of David's psalms are even mentioned there in that book. For instance, 1 Chronicles 16:8, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord." That's a quotation from the book of Psalms. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Make known his deeds among the people." And in that context, when here the penman that God is using is giving a summation, he says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good." He says that again. "His mercy endures forever. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting." And all the people said, do you remember what they said? "Amen. Praise be to God." Praise be to God. Let's continue our history lesson. 600 years later, when Nehemiah now has returned to Jerusalem and he and the people are rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem. When they completed building the wall around Jerusalem, the people were divided into two sections and they sang praises unto God. And in chapter 12 of Nehemiah, he says they sang the same things that David sang with the people 600 years earlier. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name." In fact, there are several reoccurring themes in the Old Testament, and giving thanks to God is certainly one of those themes. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord." Do you know that that phraseology is used 81 times in the Old Testament? "Oh, give thanks to the Lord." 10 times in 1 Chronicles, 20 times in 2 Chronicles, 5 times in Ezra, 40 times in the Psalms, 6 times in Jeremiah. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord." Brethren, voicing our appreciation, voicing our acknowledgement of the blessings of God, and showing with our words and our lives how much we appreciate him is a biblical concept, and it is of no small matter. Now let's take that history lesson and make New Testament application. Brethren, being thankful to God is an essential attitude. Now we know what an attitude is. An attitude makes us what we actually are. We like to reference the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, and especially the beginning part there of chapter 5, where Jesus gives what we call the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes deal with attitudes, the attitudes that those people needed, the attitudes that we need in order to be pleasing to Almighty God. Being thankful to God is an essential attitude. And if it's not our attitude, we're just voicing words. We're just saying things, just meaningless phrases. Being thankful to God is a key element in the fellowship that we have with God. Being thankful to God is not just an obligatory thing, just a checklist that we have to do in order to please God. It is a natural reaction. By natural reaction, I say this. When your spouse says, "Honey, I love you," you better react and say, "I love you too." Being thankful to God is just a natural reaction, a natural reaction to having received the blessings of God. voicing our appreciation, voicing our knowledge of the blessings of God that he has bestowed upon us. But let's also say this, that natural reaction that we've discussed, we cannot mean it. We can say it, but not mean it. Let me paraphrase a story that Jesus told. Once upon a time, a Pharisee and a publican went to the temple to pray. The Pharisee began. The Pharisee no doubt assumed this posture of prayer. That was the Jewish posture of prayer. Hands open to God, eyes looking forward, looking above. And he prayed and thanked God for some specific things. He thanked God that he was not unrighteous. He thanked God that he was not unjust. He thanked God that he was not an adulterer. And he thanked God that he was not a publican. And then he set out to tell God why God needed to bless him, because he wasn't those things. Therefore, God needed to bless him. And he went on to say all of these presumed self-edifying things. But like Jesus said of other people at other times, his heart was far from God. And the publican, with the right attitude, didn't even lift his eyes toward heaven. He was too humble. And he smote his breast, a sign of contrition. Said, be merciful unto me, Father. I'm a sinner. Other than that's us. That's the attitude we must have. Now, it doesn't take a Sigmund Freud to realize that the publican was going to be justified in his prayer and not the Pharisee. The Pharisee was pretending to be sincere. He was pretending to be acknowledging God. He was pretending to be thankful to God, but he was concerned only with his self-presumed spirituality or his superiority. It's so easy to fool people along those lines. It's easy to fool people in everything, but we can't fool God. So when we pray, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done," and the rest of what we call the model prayer, some call it the Lord's Prayer, we need to be sincere. Not that we should just quote verbatim that prayer, but use that as a model. And just like Jesus told us to be thankful, give us this day our daily bread, we need to be thankful for God. Listen to what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 4:15. "For it is all for God's sake, so that it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God." Brethren, in reality, God doesn't need our voiced appreciation to be God. He's not going to just evaporate in the clouds if we don't say thank you. He doesn't really need our approval for the blessings he gives. But our approval and our thanksgiving show that we have the proper attitude about him. Brethren, that is the reason we exist. Or let me put that in a question form. Why do we exist? To glorify God in heaven. To bring honor to his name. To thank him for all that he has done for us. And yes, we could talk about being citizens of the United States of America and all the blessings that we have. We could talk about that. But the greatest blessings we will realize in eternity. God blessed us by sending his only begotten son to die and secure our salvation. Amen. Let's go back to the Old Testament for our illustrations. When Daniel's enemies tricked the Babylonian king into pronouncing a death sentence proclamation for anyone who prayed, do you remember what Daniel did? Daniel chapter 6, he went and prayed and he thanked God for his blessing. Before David wrecked his own life, and I believe that, he wrecked his own life, he still, time and time and time again, thanked God for blessing him. In the New Testament, Jesus thanked God, Matthew 22. In the New Testament, Jesus thanked God, Matthew 26. In fact, time does not allow us to even mention, much less read, all the thanksgivings that he gave to God. So let's use these two passages of Scripture to sum up our feelings about God. The first one comes from Psalm 100. Beginning with verse 3. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are God's people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and His faithfulness is for all generations. And finally, 1 Thessalonians 5, beginning with verse 16, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, give thanks to God for every circumstance, for this is the will of Jesus Christ, His Son. Let's conclude with a prayer. Our Father in heaven, we know that you don't want us to be thankful just when things are going well. You want us to rise to a higher and more challenging plane than that. We also know that when we give you our thanks, we can find comfort in your word and in your love. Father, we pray that you will not let the dark clouds of worry and despair destroy our thankfulness for what is good in life. And we all live good lives. Father, thank you for being you. For that we are most thankful. And thank you for sending Jesus to die for our sins. And in His name we pray. Amen. Let's go ahead and turn to the invitation song, number 909. Barry, I'm going to get you to come ahead and lead this. We're going to have a response to the invitation. We'll just go ahead and cut to the chase and get Barry to come up and lead this song. I'm sure you know it, don't you? If you need to come, won't you come as we stand together?